telling you. In my mind, I created it. The future, I created it, and it's real. Don't you understand?
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Struggle Session. I'm Leslie III.
And I'm Jack Allison.
And today, I didn't know if we were going to do this episode, because, Jack, I got to be honest with you. It was at a certain point around May 25th or so where I felt like I was in an episode of a sitcom because I started to lose faith in Meltdown May.
Wow.
I am not even joking about this. I was sitting there and saying, you know what? Meltdown May isn't even real. It's a lie. It's not true.
You weren't wrong, honestly. Like, it was a very, like, light month until the end of the month when things just popped off.
And since they popped off, we are doing this special Meltdown May episode with a very special guest, host of The Katie Halper Show and Useful Idiots, Katie Halper. Thank you so much for coming back to Struggle Session.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Katie, do you believe in the magic of Meltdown May?
You know what? I got to be honest. Is this a sports thing? Is there a thing in actual played sports called Meltdown May?
No.
Okay.
No. But we cover it as if it were a sport.
Okay. See how good I am at this stuff, this pop culture thing? All right. So March Madness is a thing, right?
Correct.
Is that March kind of what you're making fun
March
of?
March Madness, Meltdown May, yeah. You know, very similar.
Yeah.
Seasonal affective disorders.
Got it, yeah. So, do I believe in it? I mean, the first time I heard about it was on your show, right? Because that's where it started, right?
No, we did not invent the term. I'm pretty sure we could probably look up who did. I don't know who. Probably some old irony poster who's long been suspended.
Oh, okay. Well,
gone
there
back
you
to
go.
A normal life.
This is just me giving you guys the chance to expand on it and catch everyone up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I almost lost faith. It was May 20th, I think it was, May 25th, and I almost stopped believing in it.
Oh, yeah, almost. And then, you know, the goddess of garbage comes down from heaven and just delivers us a bounty of awful, awful stuff. The one that really made me a true believer is, you know, we got to see a veteran Meltdown May player, Movie Bob, chime in on one of the most bizarre online take controversies that I've ever seen. It took a while to unravel what it was ultimately about. It started with this woman. Her name's Ashley Lynch. I'm saying her name. She didn't actually have a meltdown, okay? She made some goofy posts, but she didn't have a meltdown. I'm going to give her points for it. She did not melt down. She just got the ball kind of rolling. I do want to say her name because she is a professional screenwriter, and she seems like an all right person, but she made some kind of goofy posts for a reason that I'll explain in a little bit, and it may be shocking to you. So, but I'll start reading the post, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right. I'm watching Seven Samurai and realizing this is the movie that masturbatory filmmakers incapable of telling a story in 100 minutes cling to as an excuse for their worst impulses on why it's okay to waste the audience's time because they believe they discovered capital C cinema.
Okay.
Wow. Continued.
I find it, Seven Samurai, to be very meandering film that in its restored state, Criterion version, is easily 80 minutes of story stretched out over 3.5 hours. I get that it's from 1954 and it's going to have a slower pace, but I go so far as to call it overly indulgent and hindering the story.
Okay. I mean, she said it. Listen, like Leslie, one thing about this one that's interesting, and this is just a hot take. This is not necessarily a meltdown. This is just.
Oh, we'll get to the meltdown.
A very hot take. But one thing that, you know, is underrated about this particular take is that this is also Zack Snyder derangement syndrome. It comes from the fact that Zack Snyder said in some interview, I don't even know, that he likes Seven Samurai.
Yes,
or something like that.
It's exactly that.
Oh,
they were...
I see. Right. I get it.
Yeah.
It's derangement syndrome, but I get it. But with Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. So it was not actually about critiquing the film Kurosawa. That the director, the unnamed directors who copied Kurosawa, was Zack Snyder. And so they were insulting Zack Snyder for his long movies by way of insulting Akira Kurosawa, one of the greatest, most important film directors of all time, who I don't know why you would even try this. Why, like, how badly do you hate Zack Snyder that you, like, make yourself be that person that's talking shit about Akira Kurosawa for no reason and his movies being too long? Because, frankly, it just makes you look like you are a child who doesn't understand movies. And this Ashley Lynch woman is not one of those people. But because of that little online mini culture war where people are very mad about Zack Snyder and the positive press he got from the Justice League and even Army of the Dead, which I don't think is any good, but I think he got so much good press from it. And there was a press release about saying that he was going to direct a Star Wars movie inspired by Seven Samurai. And he's still going to make that movie. It's just not going to be a Star Wars movie. It's going to be standalone. I'm sure he made a tweet or something about a Vero or something about it. And that's what launched this attack on Akira Kurosawa, because those headlines showed up in the nerd sites. You know how they, like, right. There's one article based on a tweet and then they all post an article. Those showed up like an hour before the hot take about Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai showed up. So there probably wasn't even enough time to actually watch the movie in between.
They just looked up how long it was, and they were like, yeah, you know what? He likes to make long movies, and this is also a long movie.
And this person's like an actual professional. I mean, you're saying we don't need to go in that hard, right?
Yeah, but we don't have to go in hard, but she is a professional screenwriter, but I don't think she actually believes this at all. Obviously she doesn't, because when people were responding to it, they also posted a screenshot of her praising Avengers Endgame as being like an astounding movie. And that movie, of course, is like 3.5 hours long. And technically, if you look at it, you could look at it as like a 7-hour movie, since you have to watch the one before it.
Right.
And then when you add in all the ancillary Marvel Universe material, you're looking at 100 hours to get that movie. And she specifically praised it for building to that. All right. Now, again, she took it in stride, took the feedback in stride, didn't have a meltdown. But, mm-hmm. Enter one of the most astonishing meltdown main athletes. Year after year, this man is putting up numbers.
Yeah.
The movie Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Chipman. He brought the meltdown to the hot take, and it was this. So Ashley was saying, you know, people are owning her for liking a Marvel movie while criticizing another movie, yada, yada, yada. Movie Bob quotes tweets this with, in quotation marks, Marvel movie functions in film discourse how woke does in reactionary political discourse. I.e., we really mean the N-word, but we don't want to go fully mask off, end quote. Except here the mask is, we're not just being reflexively anti-anything too popular. Honest. I don't think anybody who heard me read that understood it. And it takes a while.
I'm reading it in front of me. Yeah.
You're reading it in front of you. So basically what he's saying is that when people, like, myself, like Jack, criticize Marvel movies, the MCU, we're not really criticizing the films themselves.
What I really want to be doing is a stream of uninterrupted N-words.
Yes.
Is what he's saying. when I'm saying I don't like, you know, the Marvel movies, they're too much like television shows. What he thinks I would rather be doing is just saying the N-word on repeat over and over again.
He's in defense of Ashley, right?
Yes.
Just so I want to make sure I get it. He's criticizing the people who responded to her because she was pro Marvel, anti Kurosawa. People made like went at her for being
a hilarious situation to be. What a place to put yourself.
Honestly, when I said that, like, there was no comedic intention. And once it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. So he's being an ally and he's being anti Kurosawa, or at least he's criticizing criticism of Marvel movie. Now, was this in response to you, Leslie, or in response to many people who were criticizing her?
Oh, in response to many people. It wasn't directly to me. It would be completely inappropriate for me to bring any tweet of a direct interaction and call it a meltdown. I just
You'd have to recuse yourself.
I would have to recuse myself.
Somebody else has to bring that one in.
But like, so what this isn't. So wait, can I read this again? His tweet.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And I'm gonna do quote end quote so people can.
Oh yeah,
it's confusing,
please,
right?
Please,
I mean, it's not you. It's
very
him.
Confusing.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So quote Marvel movie end quote functions in film discourse how quote woke end quote. Does in reactionary political discourse, i.e., quote, we really mean N-word, but we don't want to go fully mask off, end quote. Except here the mask is, quote, we are not just being reflexively anti anything too popular, honest, exclamation point, end quote. I still don't understand it, and I've been staring at it.
Okay, so Katie, what he's basically saying, all right, let's be fair and as generous
fair.
To him as
charitable,
possible.
Now,
this is a meltdown just for the fact of invoking the N-word is comparison to people critiquing Marvel films.
Right.
Okay, this is definitely a meltdown, but we're going to be as fair as possible to Bob here.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's trying to say is this. He's just making an analogy. He's not actually saying... criticizing Marvel is like saying the N-word. He wants you to think that, certainly. He wants to make that you to make that association in your mind, but he's not literally
right.
Didn't he repost this one taking out the N-word and replacing it with like pick any slur or something?
Yes,
like
yes,
that?
Oh, he
that's
did.
Actually okay. much nicer.
Okay.
Yeah, because he thought that was too charged and he took that feedback on and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
What mm-hmm. he's saying is that when people like you, like me, say Marvel movies are bad, what we're really doing is just critiquing what's popular. And that's really all. And that's it. So we're just being, we're not letting people enjoy things. What's the other one? The disliking things that are popular is not a personality. That annoying
right,
fucking
right.
one. Like,
right.
like that's what he's really saying. And he could say that, of course, without invoking the N-word, but it's this thing where he's trying to make people who don't like Marvel movies the same as like the alt-right. Like these are the same to him.
You know, and I guess that there has been, you know, this thing over the last couple of years where it's like the only reason not to like Marvel, you know, is because it stars women and people of color or something like that. And
wait,
frankly,
is Wonder Woman Marvel?
No,
that's DC.
Damn it.
I feel bad going too hard on Bob here, but he had another late entry, a little bit of overtime. And this is a funny story because apparently a federal judge has a bit of a sense of humor and is a bit of a geek. And he wrote a note in a judgment where he references The Last Jedi in the case. And he actually he's making an analogy and he says it would be like George Lucas promising that no meteor and schlocky sequels will come out after the Disney sale. And of course, that's exactly what Disney did with The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. So it's legal precedent now that
wow.
The Last Jedi is bad.
Listen, I'm just happy that that's in law, frankly. You know what I mean? I think it's about goddamn time, too.
I think there was like a court case about the Dodgers, like someone using that word and whether they had the rights to use it. And the judge was like, you lost the right to the Brooklyn Dodgers name when you left Brooklyn. Like the judge was clearly
a fan.
Yeah, he was clearly like aggrieved by... You know, felt betrayed when the Brooklyn Dodgers went to L.A. Anyway, that's where my head was at.
Wonderful play. That brought me back in the meltdown. Katie, did you have any meltdowns you wanted to cover?
I think this was a meltdown. What we have is, you know, we had, I guess, Aaron Mate tweeted something about Cenk Uygur. He was upset. Cenk Uygur, I guess. I think what happened is that Cenk Uygur had tweeted this tweet out. Israelis and Palestinians kill each other over which sky god they pretend to speak to.
Ugh.
And it's politically incorrect to point out there is no human god,
fucking
let alone
Bill Maher, yeah. Like year 2003 ass take.
That's funny. That's what Leslie
that's almost
was like,
a meltdown
this is
in itself.
Yes,
maybe.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, maybe. And Leslie was like, it has a lot of 2007 energy, I think you said.
Yeah.
2006, 2007.
Yeah.
So Israelis and Palestinians kill each other over which sky god they pretend to speak to, and it's politically incorrect to point out there is no human god, let alone one that favors Jews or Muslims. All this violence over the equivalent of which character they like better in the MCU.
Okay.
And then Aaron tweeted. Okay, sorry, we should have set that up first.
That's what it all is.
So then Aaron Mate tweets, "My God tells me that this is the worst tweet of all time." And I guess what happened is that then what must have happened is that while they're streaming, it's a members only thing, I guess. He's like, "Oh, apparently Aaron Mate is yelling at me on Twitter." And I can only assume he meant Aaron Mate wrote this tweet making fun of my tweet.
But which it's like, I do want to say this, Aaron Mate, friend of the show.
Yeah.
That's not even like a dunk. That's like,
I know.
Like why
that's
would
so light? That's
it's so light. Like it's so light.
Aaron, we're gonna have to get you in the cipher. Yeah. We're gonna have to get your dunks up. You gotta get those numbers up, buddy.
Yeah, seriously. But that is like, it's like you can't imagine a better example of someone saying, "Oh, everybody cares what Aaron Mate has to say," than they're responding to him that way.
So we do have the video.
They said Aaron Mate yelled at me. And so
Aaron Mate. Oh, everyone cares what Aaron Mate has to say, right? Okay. The guy who denies that Syrian children were killed with chemical attacks. Yeah.
And
fuck
gets
Aaron
paid
Mate.
By the...
Yeah, fuck you. Anyway, let's move on. Russians. Let's end the freaking pod. I can't.
Okay, see, that's what happened.
I can't stand. I can't stand that guy. And I can't stand the very intentional disinformation they put out there in regard to disgusting dictators around the world. The very people they seem to be working for, to be quite honest with you. Let's move on.
All right, we're done.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Oh, yeah, everyone cares what Aaron Mate has to say. And then the middle finger. Oh, it's not just a fuck you. It's a fuck you with the middle finger.
There seemed to be such anger
and
vitriol and, of course, completely ridiculous accusations against Aaron. But like the anger is one thing and the lies are one thing, but the both together is just so strange. I mean, I would love to call the Young Turks friends of the show. I mean, I watched them back in the day. I certainly they have hired nearly everybody that they've all ultimately beefed with, a lot of whom I like. So so thank you for that. But this is like just seems like a completely unhinged reaction to mild criticism.
Very, very weird. They've gotten very weird over there. I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's so crazy. And fuck Aaron Mate. Yeah, fuck you. And then...
Everybody... I mean, listen, I'm not even a big fan or whatever, but aren't these the guys that were, like, so mad about Jimmy Dore for, like, cussing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's my big
it's
point.
Like, can we just stop already with
pretending to be the adults in the room. That's my thing.
My feeling about it is, like, yeah, exactly. Like, Young Turks, like, you gotta acknowledge that what you're doing is, like, morning radio. You know what I mean? Especially if this is, like, the way you're acting. Like, you're not... Well, whatever. Just get over it.
The thing that I just found funny also is that, like, Jang clearly gets wind that, like, he's realizing during it, because his meltdown is, like, a mini meltdown, or it's, like, a semi-meltdown. So he's, like, half normal, like, you know, seeing red. He's probably seeing, like, pink, right? Yeah. Or seeing, like, red out of one eye.
But and Anna goes off.
So then this is kind of my favorite, most underrated part of it, is when she goes, "Let's end the podcast." And then Jang goes, "You see, that's what happens. You see, that's what happens when someone tweets something critical of my tweet." Inevitably, Anne is going to tell them to go fuck themselves and give them the finger.
No one gets a show.
Now nobody gets to watch our weird little fucking thing where I'm looking at my mentions.
Yeah. I mean, it was just that was the weirdest part about it. Thank God that it was such a meltdown, because then I think it was, had she said it in a calm way, I think it could have actually been more damaging. I mean, to me, this is so clearly...
Yeah, this is the best way to get called an Assadist or a genocide denier.
Yeah, by someone having a meltdown.
Yeah, by someone having a meltdown during May. And I mean, that was the beauty of it. So appreciation to Anna Zink for, you know, giving us that on-air meltdown about a tweet. And that's playing the game on another level. That's playing the game on another level. And actually, I like to see it.
High quality meltdown there. I liked it a lot.
Aaron really provokes people.
He's the gentlest guy. In fact, he needs to have a meltdown. He needs to get angry. Frankly,
this is the closest thing we've gotten. But
you know, I am not on Twitter. I'm not looking as much anymore. But what happened with that person, Eve Barlow, is
really something.
Okay. And so this is a person, Eve Barlow, who's like a photographer and just like a pretty nasty vocal Zionist. And I guess some time ago, someone responded to one of her Zionist tweets with just saying Eve Fartlow to her. It's changed her entire life somehow. Like, this person has become so obsessed with the fact that people respond to her calling her Eve Fartlow that she's now written, like, actually, I think one of like the finest Meltdown May pieces of all time, you know, a like multi-page dissertation in Tablet magazine about being about how being called Eve Fartlow by people on Twitter is like having a pogrom done to you.
And this is a woman, by the way, who tweeted a thing out that was, my friend saw a free parking sign and thought it said free Palestine. Yes. Jews are tired. And like, it, that was, I mean, there, I feel like I could talk about that for days because there's so much in there.
I swear, there are some people where you're like, this is a joke. Someone is doing like a long form gimmick just because I've been on web forums and stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this one reads like a joke. And Eve Barlow read to me like a joke for a really long time. But this is a very real person who's now going on like Fox News and shit to talk about being called Eve Fartlow.
Well, here's the thing. I feel this might disappoint some people. And this is what I said from the beginning about the Eve Barlow person. When I first saw her tweets, which are mostly, you know, just these unhinged defenses of the IDF and or accusations that any critique of the any acknowledgement that Palestinians deserve to be like live free, any suggesting that that is in of itself is anti-Semitic. When I saw her post, I was like, you know what? This is not a meltdown. She is not actually mad. She is doing political propaganda and brand building. Like you said, Jack, she went from being called Eve Fartlow to being to publishing in Tablet magazine to being on Fox News TV just the other day. That's not a meltdown. You don't build your career. You don't have a meltdown and build your career out of it, generally speaking. But especially like maybe if you were an actual celebrity, but like not as a political pundit. So this was never about the meltdown. This was becoming the deliberately unhinged voice of Hasbara. That's what it was.
I mean, can I just read the first line of her piece?
Please.
Oh, yes, please.
It's really special.
It's amazing. So this is Tablet, which is a totally, I mean, fairly monolithically right wing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's peppish, you know, progressive except on Palestine. Okay, so this piece is called The Social Media Pogrom. Twitter will not free Palestine, but it will certainly make the world a more anti-Semitic place.
Ah, okay.
And then she writes, I don't know who crafted the first tweet that simply said Eve Fartlow, but whoever it was, bot or human, started a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, over the past 2 weeks, Twitter has been littered with the words Eve Fartlow. Every time I tweet, this title is the response I attract, and it is pelted at me, irrespective of what I write. Hundreds of trolls, some with blue ticks and some without, just start responding to me. Eve Fartlow. Some people have recently switched to Eve Shartlow, but Eve Fartlow seems to be the one that sticks. That sticks? That's funny, huh? If we donated a JNF tree to Israel for every time someone tweeted Eve Fartlow, there'd be no Negev left.
She's perfect.
I mean, forget her like terrible politics within this issue. Like the fact that you're even talking about this within the context of clearly like, you know, as apologists like her would call this, you know, a conflict, although as Jeff Halper pointed out on my show, like it's not a conflict. It's just a settler colonialism. But like the fact that you are using the word pogrom and fire, metaphorically fire, whatever, like in the context of a bombing in the context of people, kids, children being killed in bombs that, you know, set things on fire. Like, it's just so, so up your own ass. And it is so also, it's the same type of self, like pathological self-absorption that let her tweet that thing in the first place about Jews being tired. Like, Jews being tired because they have to see
the free parking sign,
the free parking sign, which triggers in them Free Palestine. And honestly, that just reads like, if that weren't Curb Your Enthusiasm, that would be great. It would be perfect, right? Because it would be Larry David making fun of like an actual thing in the way that he can and does really well, right? Mm-hmm. Of like a, what I would describe as this weaponization of trauma, where your own like neurosis, and I'm not dismissing like anti-Semitism or the Holocaust or the history that that had and like the way that interacted with the founding of Israel. It still was ethnic cleansing though, sorry. But like when that trumps, like when that trumps the lives of other people, it's just, it's like so, it's so self-indulgent.
I mean, yes, we were literally watching. You could just turn on television and watch residential buildings being like 9/11 into the ground in Palestine. And this person is writing about how their mentions is a pogrom.
Right.
I mean, it just is like, again, it's one of these people where you're like, this person has to be a parody. But I think the closer to the truth is probably like what Leslie is saying, is that this was just like a specific intentional rebrand, and part of like, you know, part of it was getting a lot of attention, and all attention is good attention, whether it's being called Fartlow or whatever. Like now she's on Fox News.
Yeah. She, I couldn't find it, but she tweeted something really offensive about how like Black Lives Matter and Palestine.
Oh yeah. I think she deleted that one.
What was that though? She was basically blaming an,
she was critiquing the solidarity between Black Lives Matter and Palestinian freedom movements, and saying that that may have directly led to an increase in anti-Semitic crimes in the United States during the last Black Lives Matter uprising.
Right. Yeah. Because So.
Yeah, pretty offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I honestly don't by this person as legitimately melting down.
Right. She's someone, rational, you're saying.
Yeah, this is someone who's coming in with direct purpose and, you know, just, I don't even know what the sports analogy, maybe a ringer. Maybe she's like a ringer.
What's that?
A ringer. A ringer is when you're playing in like a little league team, but you bring in a kid who's a little bit older than you're supposed to be. Or you're doing a casual game, but you bring in someone that's a, like a semi-pro or something like that. That would be a ringer. Somebody who's more skilled than they actually let on in order to manipulate the game.
She is, yeah. She's pretend, yeah. Very, very not cool. And you're right. She's hiding behind May Madness.
Yeah,
she didn't know it.
Yeah, right. Yes. This month is Pride Month, and Meltdown May immediately precedes it. And so the same meltdowns kind of keep happening every year, where for some reason, these children, these children who've never been to a Pride parade, start yelling about how people Pride should make everything family friendly. There should be no kink. There should be no sex or sexuality at Pride. And people actually take, you know, these little reactionary, like, trad children seriously about this for a hot minute. But it lasted about a week, actually. It did.
There was a lot of it with the fucking, with, like, you know, Vaush and the kind lefty world. There was a left crossover of it this year.
Yeah, that's why it picked up,
Because Vaush decided to fucking
isn't he not left? Like, don't we have to say
not
he's
not really.
I mean, he self-identifies as left, but this is not a left, this is not someone who has like left politics in any like meaningful way.
Like Claire McCaskill. Like that's all those YouTubers are like Claire McCaskill leftists. And yeah, like they got involved in it too, again, on the wrong side of everything. And I now this did involve me a little bit. I did make an analogy. Make an analogy that, you know, the LGBTQ community should worry about making a family-friendly pride as soon as we, meaning Louisianians and other people who celebrate it, make a family-friendly Mardi Gras.
Oh, I like that.
But some people got mad at me because they were like, what are you talking about? Mardi Gras is family-friendly. No. Kids go to Mardi Gras. That does not mean Mardi Gras is family-friendly. Right. What that means is old Uncle Joe doesn't give a shit if there's a little five-year-old at his ankle when he's getting drunk and getting down, and nobody worries about it either. Okay? It's not a family friendly. It's not a family. Family friendly means family safe. That means everything there is. And that's actually what they're asking for, because obviously Pride is family friendly because families go to it all the time, all over the country. So
here's my feeling about the entire thing. And I thought about this, you know, with all the fucking pseudo fake Claire McCaskill lefties, YouTube lefties, you know, complaining about it and everything, is Pride is family friendly. Pride is fucking like sponsored by Target. You know what I mean? Like, Pride is sponsored by, like, Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is family friendly. Like, go to a Pride event and then come back and share your opinions on it. You know what I mean? Like, don't just look at, like, pictures that are being passed around by 4chaners and fucking conservatives. To me, honestly, I think it's just that, like, Vouch and the rest of them found, like, a low-hanging fruit thing where, like, you know, it would, like, nothing would come of it and nobody would get in trouble. And so they just had something to shout about for a couple days.
And, yeah. You know? And it is worth pointing out that these are the people who are getting mad when the YouTubers got involved in it, the Twitch streamers got involved in it. These are mostly people with very young audiences who spend an inordinate amount of time arguing that incest is at the very least morally neutral. So why don't you keep kink out of Twitch first, and then start telling Pride what to do.
Yeah, honestly, Pride is perfectly fine. Anything that's sponsored by, like, Wells Fargo, I think you're not going to be too shocked by what goes on there.
Oh, God, I actually have to take that back. I said keep kink out of Twitch because that was another meltdown where people starting getting mad because of the hot tub streamers. Like, there's like a contingent of these Twitch people who think it's unfair that women exist because they're very popular on Twitch, and so their new big thing is getting mad. Men do it, people all genders do it. They do these hot tub streams where they're just sitting in the hot tub doing the stream. What the fuck ever? Who gives a shit? But there were some meltdowns related to getting mad that this exists, and it's like Jeff Bezos needs to clamp down on this because it's unfair to other streamers or so. Bizarre stuff.
Why?
You know,
people hate women, Katie.
Yeah, really.
It basically is kind of it, more or less.
So basically, it's that. For a long time, you couldn't wear bikinis on Twitch because it's like sexually suggestive content. Then they said you can wear bikinis, but it has to be in like appropriate settings, like a hot tub. So then everyone who wanted to wear a bikini like went out and got hot tubs or like got like little kiddie pools to put in their house and started doing hot tub streams. And so then all of Twitch was like hot tub streams for a while. And then I don't know, for some reason that got men really pissed off, you know, because nobody is like tuning into their shitty little like Minecraft stream. I'm like, you know, get a better stream. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, but why? Is that because that guy sued Twitch? Because do you know about this? Is this a huge... A guy sued... We did this on an Isn't... I think I did this for an Isn't That Terrible on the... on Useful Idiots. A guy sued Twitch because he was watching something and suggestive women and... Or a woman. And he couldn't help but masturbate.
Oh
and
my
he
God.
Got
wow.
a chafed penis, and he
yeah, that'll happen.
Ejaculated on his keyboard, which caused it to like short circuit. I'm not even kidding.
Rough.
And he was suing them for a lot of money, and he was going to donate it to like a Black Lives Matter charity.
Mm. Well, there you go. I mean, what can't be that bad, right? If he's going, to a good.
I know.
And it's coming from Jeff Bezos. So hey, what the hell?
Yeah. Why yeah. not?
Of course, I'm looking for that story, and like all these porn video things are coming up, which is not what I was. Twitch streamer ejaculation, I put in. Sex addict claims hot female gamers caused him to injure his penis. Excessive gaming is known to damage one's joystick. A California sex addict is suing the video streaming platform Twitch for $25 million after claiming that the site's overabundance of scantily clad gamers have caused him to injure his penis, according to the lawsuit. Twitch had subjected him to overly suggestive and sexual content from various female streamers, and this resulted in him chafing his penis.
He's making like a succubus argument. Like, he's arguing that Twitch is like a digital succubus full of succubi.
Yeah.
Yes. He was like Odysseus, you know, on his Odyssey, and Twitch was like the sirens.
The sirens, yeah. He put Neosporin on his tip to prevent it was extremely painful and caused him redness and mild infections that forced him to, quote, use Neosporin on his tip to prevent necrosis.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
Wow. That's necrosis, actually really... That's a lot of twitching.
Listen, I don't want to stand with the companies or anything like that, but at a certain point, personal responsibility to be considered.
On that note, I do want to mention that fentanyl being cut into cocaine, and like if you Google the story, you're seeing like people are like dying day to day because of this. It's absolutely horrific, and for some fucking reason, there's a contingent of people who think the answer to that, the response to that, should be, well, just don't do drugs. Which is one of the Katie's eyes. You got your eyes that so big. Now, as far as
first of all, for me, not an option.
But I think most of us not that big into nose candy. As far as I don't
not at all. I mean, I have no skin in the game.
Yeah, the backstage at the Katie Halper Struggle Session show is very calm.
Yeah. I do like drugs, but go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is just an insane argument. What the hell?
The just say no Nancy Reagan shit. And to hear that from people who are young enough to use Twitter was shocking to me, except for the fact that I do in my heart believe that no matter what your political stripe is, there's a 95% chance you just become as a dipshit like your parents. Once you get past a certain age, you get as conservative and annoying as your parents. Most people do. Hopefully hopefully our listeners, struggle listeners, are moving to the left as they get older. But I think for the average person, even people who think they're savvy, witty, politically with it, like if your response to people literally dying is just say no, you're just like a fucking Reaganite Republican piece of shit. Like you're like not even a Bushite. Like you're like a Reagan type person.
Yeah. What makes me really upset about it and really bums me about it is that these are people that could be young enough to be doing drugs.
I know, right?
And
it's so sad to see.
It's so sad to see these young people who should be experimenting with and doing drugs out there acting like fucking hall monitors.
They're not
and stuff
out
like
there.
That.
They're literally on Twitter yelling and wagging their fingers. Young men, a generation of young men lost. They should be going out, going to raves, getting messed up, having a good time, talking to people, meeting people who aren't instead of just like yelling at people twice their age because they happen to be host podcasts or whatever. Like it's just so sad to see. I could not imagine my 20-year-old self being like, should I go to this rave or should I spend the night like calling people degenerates on Twitter because they think that people who use cocaine don't deserve to die? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't care. You know, if you want to do drugs, okay, be safe. But like, you don't have to just don't be a person who like scolds people for dying.
I know, right? Completely silly shit. Definitely meltdowns. But we're not mentioning names because they all suck. All right. Now the big one that we ended the meltdown me on. There's a news story that caused other people to meltdown. The person actually at the center of this has not made a statement as of yet. I'm anxiously waiting it. It's almost going to be, it's like the OJ verdict at this point. Like that's the sort of excitement in the air right now. Ellie Kemper. Yes. America's sweetheart. Star of The Office. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. We all know her. We love her. She's vivacious. She's funny. She's, you know, has such that wonderful positive middle school teacher energy. I just absolutely adorbs, love her. But turns out you've all seen True Detective, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know the murder cult that is portrayed, the racist murder cult portrayed in it, Carcosa, in True Detective season one. Kemper was basically in that. more or less. If you want to really dive deep, into it. The True Anon podcast has a very deep dive on it, about this organization called the Veiled Prophet, which is a 135-year-old civic organization, philanthropic organization that has these debutante balls. They're located in St. Louis. And if you look up the actual history of this organization, you will see clearly. Now, a lot of people have been calling them the Klan. They're actually more likely the prototype. They're more like a prototype for the Klan, because they're pre-Klan. You can see they have similar robes, but they're actual, and of course they were white and racist too, and probably still are extremely so to this day. But in the original, the original formation, this is why the meltdowns about it were so strange, it was actually anti-labor. It's like an anti-labor secret organization of like a bunch of rich assholes. And these organizations right. exist all over the country. We have a lot of them in the South. A lot of the Mardi Gras crews are basically something similar to this. And yes, they are all fucking racist and should be, and they all are like a bunch of racist rich people having parties and should be abolished and are all pieces of shit. But we Ellie Kemper was one of their princesses for their ball when she was 19. And it's just like the funniest thing I have ever heard. The, you know, late season like office girl was like a Klan princess. That is so fucking funny to me. That is hilarious.
So Leslie, you're from like Louisiana. Yeah. Don't they have all sorts of fucking you know, debutante balls that are all based on old you know, racist groups and stuff like that? So when I like, it's almost like I almost was annoyed by people passing this around and saying that she was in KKK, because it's like so much more weird and interesting that it's like, no, it's not the KKK. It's like the KKK that's still socially acceptable.
Yes. Yeah.
Why did this come out randomly?
Well, people were just talking about the society, and the funny thing is, so people did complain and push back and have their own mini meltdowns in defense of Kemper, even before she said anything about it, because they were like, this is so unfair. She was 19. And also the strangest defenses, and I swear to God I saw someone try to say this, is that, you know, it's actually, we shouldn't criticize, say anything about Ellie Kemper, because everyone is basically a part of some sort of racist secret society in the Midwest. No, I don't think that's actually true. I
would say that take is probably true if you're talking about the richest families in the Midwest. The thing that surprised me the most about it was that Ellie Kemper, I was like, oh, another hyper rich person out of UCB. Like, that's what really surprised me. I was like, oh, wait, Ellie Kemper is like part of the richest family in the Midwest. Yes. Like, wow, that's interesting.
Very interesting. And here's the thing, though. People were complaining about people talking about it, because I realized this, they all have gotten obsessed with cancel culture. And so you'd think these people who've been spending the past year talking about Jeffrey Epstein and secret societies of the rich, and like talking about how much you hate the rich and all their shit, like defending this ultra rich person, ultra rich celebrity, is part of a fucking secret society because they thought it was cancel culture run amok. Goofy shit. Have fun seeing celebrities embarrassed, especially for shit they actually did. Now here's the trippy part, though, about this revelation. This is not something that Ellie Kemper tried to keep secret. First of all, there's a full-page newspaper article from when she did it. Again, 19, in college, was at their little ball with her. And you have pictures of her with her creepy little attendants. It looks like some shit out of Midsommar and True Detective as well. But also, they put that picture in 2018 when she was promoting her book of memoirs and funny like little stories. So it's not something she was hiding. In fact, she allowed it, or maybe even gave them the picture to include in like the local newspaper, like, oh, look at me when I was 19, and hey, now I'm a real life Disney princess. That's literally the pitch of the article, is like Ellie Kemper KKK ball to Disney princess. What a beautiful journey.
Yeah. I mean, what? I have a question, though. Like, what is, let's say someone did do that, right? Because they were born into this shitty thing. Like, is there a way to, and I'm not like letting her off the hook when I say born into a shitty thing. Like, what's the redemption? Is it like getting out in front of it and really like reckoning with it?
But the problem is that at the beginning of quarantine, she recorded this Google video where she talks about her parents. And when people asked, when she's asked, because the most Google, one of the most Google questions about her, one of those videos, one of the most Google questions is, who are Ellie Kemper's parents? Because people hear that she's the daughter of like these billionaires, right? So when she was asked that question, her only answer was, they are the best parents in the world. Now, it would be hard only a few months later to disavow your...
She said, wait, they cut me off. I said, for being members of the...
Veiled Prophet Society. So
yeah.
They're still in the Veiled Prophet Society, I'm sure. It's still what it is. So it'd be hard to like disavow it and say, that this is something I was pushed into. And she was filming the video from her parents' massive house at the time and saying she was staying. So like kind of trapped in the corner. Maybe the thing to do is in 2018, not like push it out, like try to get rid of that story. You're rich right. enough to hide this stuff. You could have gotten rid of this stuff years ago.
Yeah.
But people were melting down because they got mad at people for bringing it up because they were just so worried that, oh my God, you're canceling her. You're calling her. No, we're just saying it's fucking funny. It's funny that she was a Klan princess. That is the funniest thing I can possibly imagine. Like, what are you going to tell me next? Like, some of the improv comedians from The Daily Show were like pro-segregation or something? Like, no. Like, that just seems like a completely...
That did actually happen.
But again, you know, still, like, just extremely funny thing to point out. It's okay to laugh as celebrities being goofy. Don't melt down and say that everybody and start telling on yourself, because this is the main thing people are doing. They're like, my cousin like loves the Confederate flag and I'm from Illinois. I'm like, no, you're just like super racist. And like like you're not even from the South. Like it was completely bizarre meltdown of people. And like one person even is so sad, but I have to point out, because she was making all these defenses of Ellie Kemper, people were saying like, oh, I guess you went to a Klan ball too, right? And some people did. Some people were like, oh, I went to one of these things and I'm not racist. That's fine. But this person actually had to say that actually I was a loser in high school, so I would never have been invited to one of the Klan balls.
Oh my God.
What?
You don't have to say that, dude. Come on. You turned out to be the cool one.
I mean, I don't know if that's the best defense. If someone is actually using like KKK popularity contests as their self-worth barometer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
that's pretty incredible, though. That was a pretty incredible. I don't know about meltdown, but just it's
moment.
Moment.
But that kind of is how this meltdown may turned out. Not a lot of standout athletes, not a lot of standout posts, just a general vibe of everybody losing their shit over sillier and sillier things for no reason.
Yeah.
We'll have to call it there. We'll have to wrap. So, Katie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Katie Helper Show on YouTube, on SoundCloud and iTunes. It's a podcast and the video. I do live streams. And of course on Patreon, patreon.com/the Katie Helper Show. Again, it's patreon.com/the Katie Helper Show. And you can find Useful Idiots on Substack. That's usefulidiots.substack.com. And Katie Helps is my Twitter handle. Yeah.
All right, folks.
And that's it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Have a great one. Jump out of egg with your boy in it. Trip my cup, put a deuce in it. Ride around the block, got two women.